All right, welcome back. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch, episode 152. And today we'll be talking about, we'll be doing some Rams review. We're going to have some thought-provoking conversation about the Rams and other things involved in that. And we'll also be, you know, getting Cam's thoughts on the Super Bowl because he was actually there. I'll be able to chime in what I saw on TV, but he was actually at the game, which is pretty freaking cool. Yeah. So before we get into that, be sure to subscribe, you know, like, rate, review, all of that. Also want to turn your attention over to Cameron Lynch's YouTube channel. Yeah. You know, he's going to be pumping out content over there. So, hey, I gotta mention my guy, you know. So we'll be getting that slowly but surely. We'll be getting all the videos that we posted on this channel. We'll be getting over to Cam's channel as well. And from here on out, we'll have every episode you can catch on either my channel or Cam's channel. Or if you're doing just audio, you can find it on the Believe Network, pretty much any podcast platform whatsoever. But we got an ad read, so let's get into it. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head on over to betonline.ag to join to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Cam. Well, you know where we start. It's always the burning question. And for you offensive linemen, hungry content people, I got a surprise for you, baby, because I listen to all of you. And even though I do like making my own content, Cam and I like talking about things we want to talk about, we do listen to the people. We are men of the people, as they would say. So, Cam, burning question: do the Rams have their left tackle of 2023 currently on the roster?
I don't think so, Jake. Not yet, right? You got Rob Havenstein, got the right tackle, but the left tackle, I'm not sure yet. And I want to go back to something. I know Super Bowl just passed, Jake. I want to go back to 2020-2021 season after the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers. The first thing they did was get offensive linemen, right? I think they got Joe Thuney, they got Orlando Brown Jr., and they got Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. And it took them 2 years, right, to get back to the Super Bowl and get things rocking again, but it paid off. It paid off at the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Those guys showed up and showed out. Patrick Mahomes talked about it where, you know, everyone was talking about the Eagles' defensive line. And he was like, wait, what about our offensive line? And I do believe Andy Reid and the Chiefs organization did a great job of acquiring offensive linemen. So going to the Rams, right? The Rams are coming off a Super Bowl loss and a Super Bowl win 2 years ago and a losing season this year. What's that missing factor? What's that missing ingredient? I do think it's that offensive line overhaul. So we talked about it a lot, Jake, but you know, this offseason, Sean McVay taking some notes, and this is the note: get more offensive linemen, right? Get people to protect Matthew Stafford. Jake, I feel like a broken record almost, because we talk about this all the time. No. Protect Matthew.
No, you're not a broken record.
Protect Matthew Stafford. I think you talked about it. You said you were creating some content. And the people were like, why are we talking about quarterbacks when we need to talk about an offensive line? To be fair, to protect you and to be on your side, we do need a backup quarterback. You know, Henny for the Chiefs. I know he retired recently, but he was a great backup for Patrick Mahomes. The Rams, we need a great backup as well that can go out and actually win football games. But to get to that point, we need an offensive line. So to answer your question, we do not have a stout offensive line yet, but I do believe that Sean McVay's taking them notes right about now, taking a page out of the Chiefs' notebook and getting some offensive line this offseason.
I love the way you and I kind of bounce off each other with Sean McVay's offseason, because we're on the same page. Like, we're like, no. Sean McVay is not like everybody else. He's not kicking back, relaxing, enjoying his break. He's looking at this like, all right, how do I get back? Because I crave this. And I did not just come back to miss the playoffs again. And albeit, I mean, this team was in every game except for one going in the fourth quarter. A lot of the reason, I see a lot of blame deflected towards Raheem Morris, but I would argue they would have been worse without Raheem Morris. So I think a lot of the reason that this team fell last year was because obviously injuries, but also, like you said, the offensive line, just in general, you know, and when they were healthy, they still weren't that great. So what's the deal? What does this look like? You know, you have Alaric Jackson who, you know, maybe you pencil in at left tackle. I love Alaric Jackson. Whether he's the left tackle or left guard, I think he needs to start. I think he is a starting caliber offensive lineman. He's one of those gems that they got out of UDFA. And I mean, you're one of them too. Don't knock yourself over there. I mean, that was a pretty awesome pickup when we got you out of Syracuse. But I mean, you're proof. He's proof. You can get guys out of undrafted rookie free agency. And I'm not pushing Alaric out the door after seeing what he did before the blood clots came in. And that really sucked because, you know, we would have had a chance to see him with a full season, I think, as the starter, would have had more clarity and, you know, more comfortability, if you will. But we didn't get to see him because of the blood clots. And we saw guys like Ty Nsekhe, who was with the Rams in 2012, and then he comes back 10 years later, and now he's starting. Like, what is happening? So this is what I'll say, Cam. I like Note Boom. Everyone knows I like Note Boom. I'm scared to death about his Achilles tear. I know guys have come back from it. I know Jason Peters, but you can't just say, well, Jason Peters did it, so anyone can. Jason Peters is not like anybody else. He's 40 years old, and he was starting a left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. Don't even tell me, yo, well, Jason Peters. Jason Peters is a freak.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not like many other left
tackles. Like the LeBron James of left tackles. Like, let's separate him.
He's a monster, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he deserves to be. But, like, that's the thing, is just because, you know, he did it doesn't mean – like, he's the anomaly, right? Yeah. And I'm sure other guys have, but it is tough to come back from a torn Achilles. Look, the Broncos right now, they just put Garrett Bowles, who's the very, very talented left tackle, I believe out of Utah, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they put him on the training block. Makes sense, right? Who's still there from, you know, the year they drafted Garrett Bowles? Like, who's still around the Broncos right now? Brand new head coach. You're going to have an offensive line coach. Brand new offensive staff in general. So he's probably not going to have anybody that, you know, can side with him. Mm-hmm. And all these guys on the outside coming in, they're looking at, is this a guy that's had a hard time staying healthy? When he's healthy, he's great, but we don't have that connection. We didn't draft him. We don't have anybody on the staff that drafted him. So this is what I will say, okay? The Rams should, and I don't know if this will work, Cam, but the Rams should trade Joseph Noteboom, package him with a second and a fifth round pick to acquire Garrett Bowles from the Denver Broncos. You get your left tackle of the future. Again, I understand he's had some injuries, but I think he really could thrive on the Rams, be the bookend left tackle. Noteboom, I like. I'm scared away by the injury, and I understand the Broncos would be scared away. He's going to cost a lot of money against the cap, but so is Bowles. So, Jake, why are you, you know, sending Noteboom if they're trying to get rid of his number off the books? Because, my friend, you asking, whoever you are, the Broncos don't have picks. They're going to take a second and a fifth rounder, in my opinion. I think they'd be dumb not to. But then again, they traded away a first rounder for a coach. So
that's neither here nor there. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Cam. This is what I propose. I think Garrett Bowles, and I've talked about this with my buddy Blaine over at Turf Show Times, Garrett Bowles to the Rams makes sense. And I think it's kind of that reset. It's a soft reboot, if you will. You see all these films doing soft reboots. You're keeping Havenstein, right? You're not blowing up the whole thing, but it's a soft reboot of the offensive line. And I think that's the best way to go.
And Jake,
you keep Alaric at left guard, maybe, but I like this move.
Yeah, Jake, and I feel you on that. And for the first time, I'm gonna side a little bit differently on that, right? You mentioned a little spicy, right? With Bowles,
spicy Cam.
No, I think you mentioned it, right? You said he had some trouble with injuries. I think, you know, with the Rams, like that's all we've been talking about this year are injuries. So in my mind, it's like, okay, why go get someone that is injury prone? I think we talked about this, right? You have a Porsche, or we're talking about offensive linemen, you get an F-150 truck. if he's known for having flat tires and always have to go in to get his injury repaired or whatever that looks like, I'm not sure if it really makes sense to go out and, you know, and get someone like that. I think we always talked about this too with Sean McVay, but really doing the same thing over and over again is considered insanity. So I do think when we're talking about this offensive line, you know, bringing someone on that is injury prone, I do think it might be insane, Jake. It might be insane. I'm sure Bowles—he's a great player, but I do think, you know, making sure that we get an offensive lineman that stays healthy, that's consistently healthy. You know, maybe from one of these championship teams, man, maybe we look at the Eagles, maybe we look at the Chiefs and say, or any of these playoff teams and say, hey, where can we find someone that's willing to be traded and also has a championship experience? I think the Rams, I think that we missed that, right? The Rams were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We need to have those Super Bowl caliber players to come on this Rams team, right? We go back to the Chiefs playbook where they got Joe Thuney. These guys come from championship teams, you know, the Patriots. And so making sure that we take that note page out of Andy Reid's playbook and bringing on championship caliber players. I'm not sure if the Broncos have touched the playoffs in a while. Right. And so getting some of these offensive linemen that have touched the playoffs, who have been in championships and that stay healthy, I think that is a better option than getting someone that's injury prone. And I haven't really seen Garrett Bowles play too much, but the fact that he gets injured a lot, that's a little concerning for me, Jake. I'm not sure what your thoughts are about that.
So I actually had to bring it up because, you know, I was like, how injured has he been? Because I was thinking about that. He's a former All-Pro second team in 2020. It was this year. So he broke his leg this year. Aside from that, since 2017, he started 82 games. So for the most part, he's been pretty reliable. And just because of a freak injury where his leg snapped, sorry to make that so. Besides that freak injury where, I mean, that could happen at any point. He's been relatively durable. Now, the question is, at age 30 now, does he start to go down this path where he broke his leg and now, you know, and what I've noticed, Cam, and I don't know if you could really speak on this, like from experience, probably not because you didn't really get hurt, but like talking guys around you, wouldn't you make the argument a guy that gets hurt because he got hurt that year, now he had a full off season where he didn't get a chance to get better. And instead, he actually had to focus on the rehab, which sometimes, actually most of the time, I would argue, leaves other areas of the body prone to get hurt because you're focusing so much. Now you're overcompensating for your leg. Maybe you hurt, you know, your wrist or something. You know what I mean? Like, do you agree with that? Like, do you think that's something that's real?
Well, I do know that when it comes to athletic trainers, they're super aware of that, right? Just like the thought of overcompensating. Excuse me. So let's say, for an example, my hamstrings. I hurt my hamstrings playing. I pull multiple hamstrings. So if I pull my left hamstring, then I'm going to rely on my right one to compensate and to do more things. And so what athletic trainers are paid to do is to know that and to make sure that there's balance, right? And so for an example, currently my left pec is torn, right? From bench pressing too much. And so I'm doing...
You tore your left pec?
I tore my left pec, Jake, bench pressing, going from 135 to 225 to 275. I thought I was in college again. Exactly. Ugh. And so I'm actually doing rehab today. I'm going to Sports Academy up in Thousand Oaks, the same one that the Rams go to, Dr. Bo. And what we work on, Jake, is not only strengthening this left arm, but also preparing this right arm as well. So whatever I do on this left arm, I'm doing the same thing on the right arm. Not heavy weight, but just functional weight. And so I do believe for Garrett Bowles, that he's not only training his left leg or whatever leg that was broken, but also his right leg and really strengthening the armor in his body. And so athletic trainers are supposed to know that, and they're supposed to prepare him for those next steps. And you know, Jake,
that's gnarly, man.
It's brutal. Injuries are tough. And I think you said it, Jake, having a full year of not having contact and not playing, it can be tough because you can train as much as you want. You can go hard as much as you want, but football speed is a different speed, right? Like he can put his pads on and he can do some drills with people and whatnot. But until he gets in that game and really test that leg out, even saying this out loud, test that leg out. Like, that's just kind of scary, right? Thinking about him being on the Rams, being the left tackle, the money guy, you know, for our Rams quarterbacks, and testing his leg out. Like, that doesn't even sound right. So going back to my statement, you know, I do hope that the Rams can get someone that doesn't have to test their body out for this upcoming season. I think Matthew Stafford, he deserves that with his neck injuries and with his back, his head. I don't know if I want someone testing their leg out when I know my quarterback is injury prone. So that's just me, Jake. I feel like it's going to be the domino effect. One guy's going to go down. Matt's going to go down. Then we're talking about this again, okay? It's going to be a two-quarterback carousel, a three-quarterback carousel. So it's a little risky to me, Jake. I don't know. It's a little risky.
It certainly is. I mean, the good thing is that, like, the thing with Noteboom is that he's had multiple issues. And I don't even know if the Broncos would be interested. But, you know, just to take on his deal to get a second and fifth, I think they would consider. But, I, you know, thinking about it, coming off a broken leg, maybe you can get him down to a third and a fifth. And if that's the case, Cam, would you do that?
If he gets a third and a fifth, I think it makes sense. But also too, right?
Like, so second's a little bit too expensive.
I think that's Jake. That's too expensive, right? Like, I want to make sure that if Bowles goes down, who's gonna back him up, right? Like, what's that look like? And I'm gonna prepare for that. Like, I'm gonna expect after game one, something's gonna go wrong with that leg, because you know defensive players know, hey, this guy has a left leg in or right or left leg injury. I'm going to attack that leg. Whenever I apply pressure, I'm going to attack that leg, and I'm going to see who the backup is. So if I'm Les Snead, I'm going to say, hey, if we're going to get Bowles, let's make sure the backup is just as strong or even stronger, because I can expect after game one, he's going to get that smoke when it comes to that leg.
And let me just, you know, take your side here for a sec. He's not saying he's going to go over and just go like that to the guy's leg. Yeah. Like, you're being more like, as a pass rusher or, you know, whatever, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get him to put the weight on that leg, make it, you know, more vulnerable. You're trying to take advantage. I just, for the people out there that are more sensitive here in 2023, I'm not trying to get you canceled, Cam. He's not saying he wants to take out Bowles. You know, he's not saying that, but I get what you're saying, and that does make a lot of sense. And when you talk about guys like Von Miller, you know, going up against a guy like him, or even like a more powerful guy, like we saw Josh Sweat for the Eagles, that power, you know, that could be a problem, yeah. Right? Brian Burns, you know, his ability to convert speed to power, guys like that. And then of course, Nick Bosa, right? You go up against Nick Bosa, that could be a serious issue. I do suspect, since it was week 4, he'll be good to go. Which is a good thing. It's not a later leg injury. The thing that sucks is former Rams guard Austin Corbett, I think he tore his ACL on the last game of the season. That is not likely. He will not likely be back in time for the regular season. This is not the same case with Bowles. It's very intriguing, though, this Bowles thing. Another thing we've mentioned, and you kind of shot down the last time, Taylor Lewan is another one of those, like the veteran presence. Yeah, I mean, I remember you saying you didn't like him, or he was kind of a jerk to you.
He was a jerk. He was a jerk. But, you know, I do think it could be, okay, you think about like the Cam Akers issue, right, where he had some issues in the locker room. He had to sit out for a little bit. You know, Sean McVay doesn't play that. Like, from his situation, we know Sean McVay does not play that when it comes to character. I can see Taylor Lewan having some issues where it's like, hey, Taylor wasn't acting right in practice. We're going to have to sit him out this game. You know, it's like, I don't know if the offensive line can take that and handle that right now. You know, and going back to the Bowles piece, I would like to see him maybe for one more year, maybe, or before the trade deadline, like see him fully healthy with the Broncos and then, okay, let's go get him. But yeah, going back to Taylor Lewan, no, it's a personality thing for me, guy. And I just know Sean McVay doesn't play that. So, you know. This is Believe, though. Yeah. This is Believe. We're not Les Snead. We're not Sean McVay. This is Believe. We do believe in the Rams, but I just think he's a character guy, and that might be an issue.
So, the thing I've been thinking about when we're talking about this, especially with Garrett Bowles, the Rams might be able to do this more so because they have a guy like Alec Jackson, you know. And if you bring back Ty Nsekhe, it's like we have that as like our backup in case something goes wrong. And Nsekhe played well. Alaric played well. Does that change your mind a little bit about Bowles? Like, to bring him in for a, say, a third and a fifth, you get no boom off the books. You bring in Bowles. If he's healthy, he's going to be, you know, borderline second team all pro talent. If he's not, you do have Alec Jackson. You do have, but is it also one of those things, Cam, where they've taken so many chances, they've used so much cap, they've used so much capital, draft capital, that they have to get this right, and just the risk is going to defeat the reward?
Yes, I think you said it, Jake. I think this past year was our year to play around and kind of see what works, you know, see what doesn't work. I think, Jake, it's tough for us, you know, each day after each week to come to this podcast and be like, ah, the Rams didn't do it again. The Rams didn't do it again, Jake. I don't want another season of that, Jake. I want them to get it right this season.
I know.
You know, what Sean McVay went through in the offseason, like, it took a hit on them. It took a hit on us. It took a hit on the whole, Rams community. So I think this year, Jake, selfishly, we deserve for them to get it right. It just stresses me out a little bit, right, to get someone that, of course, you said all pro, he's all everything. But I would maybe love to see him, after, you know, before the trade deadline, during the season, keep your eye on him and say, hey, you know, depending on how our offensive line does, this guy's first on our list for the trade deadline. So that's my thought there. I'm a little conservative, but Jake, just a little PTSD from this past year, man. Coming back, I said, you know.
I hear you. I know. Yeah, it's definitely not something like, it's not a no-brainer, because you're going to have to give up draft capital. But what can we learn from the Kansas City Chiefs offensive rebuild, right? So you're saying they added Trey Smith in the draft. Mm-hmm. They added Creed Humphrey in the draft. They added Orlando Brown Jr. Was that via trade or was that free agency?
I believe it was free agency. Free agency dollars on left guard, okay. Joe Thuney. And then traded draft picks to acquire Orlando Brown. Yeah.
Okay, so Brown was a trade,
yep.
Which, okay, and then Thuney was a signing from the Patriots. Let him go. Yep. Okay, and then who was the other guy?
And then they drafted the other two guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say Havenstein, you not pencil him in. He's in ink.
Yeah.
Okay. They sign him long term. He played all 17 games this year. In a 5-12 losing effort, got to give him props. I mean, he played around all sorts of guys, so he's going to remain there, right? You have Brian Allen, you have Coleman Shelton at center. Do you see any of those guys being the center this year? Because I could see them moving on from Brian Allen, another one of those just injury risks.
Yeah, wait, was it Brian Allen, the one that came from being a police officer, that now?
No. That was, oh my God, what's his name? Jeremiah Colon.
Jeremiah. Okay. So, okay. Going back to Brian Allen. Yeah. I think we need to solidify the whole offensive line, Jake. I'm not going to lie. Like, Rob Havenstein's our staple. And then everything else, you know, I think we have those guys as firm backups, but I think we figure out, hey, how can we get a new starting offensive line? And it might not pay off this upcoming year, but I do think, similar to the Chiefs, it'll pay off in the following year. But I think we kind of just, hey, these guys haven't been healthy. Let's make sure that we get some guys that can stay healthy, that can actually produce, and then have these guys as backups just in case. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. If, you know, you feel like you want to move a guy up and have them as a staple with Rob Havenstein, what do you think about that?
Well, the interesting thing in looking at the Chiefs, you know, because their offensive line from left to right, you got Orlando Brown, who you got via trade. You got Joe Thuney, like you mentioned, free agency. Creed Humphrey draft in the second. Trey Smith draft in the sixth. And Andrew Wiley was a free agent in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. So you have guys like Lucas Niang, you drafted in the 2020 draft, third round. You drafted Darian Kennard, fifth round in 2022. You have Nick Allegretti, a seventh rounder from 2019, and Prince Tega Obunogo, who was a free agent. So that is their offensive line. And I think we can learn something from this. So I think Nwogu, if I'm not mistaken, was a UDFA. And I honestly think Andrew Wiley might have been a UDFA. And it does appear he was. So Andrew Wiley, 28 years old, UDFA, he's starting at right tackle for them. And he played really good. Then you have Winogu, who's a backup left tackle, UDFA. I think you know where I'm going.
Yes.
So Orlando Brown was the trade. Rams trade for Garrett Bowles or trade for, I think LaJuan will get cut. So it'd be probably Garrett Bowles, right, in this scenario. So the Rams trade for Garrett Bowles. That's for Orlando Brown. Is he as good as Orlando Brown? I mean, he could be. But so what we've seen, I'd probably lean Brown, but he also wouldn't cost as much as, say, Brown did. Then at left guard, you got Joe Tooney, your big free agency signing. I could see them signing somebody, but, you know, could be a little interesting where they go. You know, do they go out and get a Daniel Brunskill from the 49ers? You know, interestingly enough, he's had some good games against the Rams. They've seen him hands on. Yeah. Do they go out and get Nate Herbig from the Jets? I mean, I thought he played really well this year. I watched a lot of Jets football. So,
these are all playoff guys. These are playoff guys, Jake. These guys from playoff teams. The Rams were not in the playoffs. So, talking about Tooney, he was with the Patriots. He's won a lot of Super Bowls, been in a lot of playoffs. I see where you're going there, Jake. I see where you're going.
Well, so that leaves center. There's Brian Allen, who was drafted in the 2019 draft. But, I mean, to match Creed Humphrey, I haven't watched a lot of centers in this draft yet. I've been going very, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, that flow of things, right? But everyone and their mother for the Rams wants them to draft John Michael Schmitz out of, I believe, Minnesota. I'm sure you've seen that name. Mm-hmm. They've kind of dubbed him as the new Creed Humphrey. So let's just insert John Michael Schmitz in there at pick 36. Let's make everybody watching at home go ballistic because that's who they want. So a Rams offensive line right now of Garrett Bowles, left guard, will put the UDFA at left guard. So that's the thing. Andrew Wiley at right tackle, he's the UDFA. We'll put the UDFA and Alaric Jackson at left guard. So we got Garrett Bowles, Alaric Jackson, center John Michael Schmitz, right guard. Do they draft another guy in this draft to make him start like Trey Smith, or do they already have the right guard from the draft in Logan Bruss? Now you have your traded guy, you have your two draft picks, you actually have your three because you have Havenstein. And you have your signed guy. So I think that that's a very interesting thing here where you could be looking at Bowles, Alaric Jackson, John Michael Schmitz, Logan Bruss, and Rob Havenstein. But another one you could be looking at is Bowles. You go out and you get somebody like, say, Isaiah Wynn or a Nate Herbig or somebody like that. Then John Michael Schmitz at center. And then right guard, maybe you have Alaric there. Maybe you have Bruss, and then you have Havenstein. The only problem is going back to what we've been saying. Bruss missed the entire season. Didn't have a chance to get much better. He was focusing on rehabbing that torn ACL. So that's my only thing there. But I think this team is going to have a lot of depth. I really believe that. I think they learned a lot about their offensive line this past year. You know, you look at guys like, Coleman Shelton could be a really good depth piece. Whether they trade a guy like Brian Allen away, who knows? But Nate Boom in this scenario would be traded away for Bowles, a third and a fifth. The Rams would be trading a third and a fifth and Nate Boom for Bowles. So the Rams keep their second round. They spend it on the offensive line. They get their center of the future. They get Garrett Bowles at age 30. They can extend him, you know, all of that. You know, if it works out, great. Age 30 for an offensive lineman, we found out, really isn't that old because you're still in your prime. And Andrew Whitworth played until 40. Jason yeah. Peters played until 40. They're not necessarily, you know, everybody, but, you know, you at least get him another 5 years, right? So let's say he plays until 35. You at least give him another 5 years. That's entire career for Stafford yeah. in LA. So
ring me at that point. Ring me at that. You know, like,
yeah,
at that within that 5 years.
I would say that offensive line cam is pretty darn good. yeah. You know, either of those. Some people disagree. Not everybody. Like, there are people that want Havenstein gone. Let me just tell you, Havenstein ain't going anywhere. Okay. yeah. is on that offensive line in ink, like literally in ink. Yeah. He signed a contract to stay with the Rams multiple years. Yeah. Okay. He's not going anywhere.
Get a tattoo. Get a tattoo. Haven signed with the Rams at this point. Just
it's done. So Logan Bruss is a question mark. For those that would be questioning that, they could draft a guy, make him the right guard. They could go out and sign somebody, but I really like, so far, and I could change because I have only watched one running back and all the quarterbacks, and I haven't gotten to the center. I don't even know if I like John Michael Schmitz yet. I'm just saying from everybody else. But, when I get to that point, I'll be able to tell. do I want John Michael Schmitz in the second round if I don't know anything about him right now? Not really, but I'm just like showing you what a potential offensive line could look like. I think it's very realistic. They pick 36th overall. They could absolutely come down with him. Jarrett Patterson from Notre Dame is also an intriguing option later on the second, maybe even the third, if they don't trade away their third round pick. And guys, I don't have any info on this. I know I've mentioned it before. Sometimes when I say things, it's because I have things that like I've been told. So it's kind of trying to, without like coming out and reporting it, it's kind of like teasing it a little bit.
Yeah.
This is not one of those things. I have nothing on Garrett Bowles. There's nothing except for what has been reported and that the Broncos are interested in trading him. I don't know if the Rams would be interested. I know the Rams have a connection with the Broncos that, you could say with the Waltons, as deep as that, but not even that. I'm talking just in the sense that they've made trades with them. You go back and, you look at the Von Miller trade. You go back, you look at the Kenny Young trade, right? Those are two trades they made with them in the last 2 years alone. And they've had, of course, you talk about Brandon Staley coming over from the Broncos. There's a connection there. And I don't know if it's still there now that Sean Payton's there. It's a completely new staff, but the guys at the top,
Sean Payton doesn't like the Rams, Jake.
Yeah, no, he does not like the Rams, but the guys at the top though, they're kind of the same people. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was wearing horns this season. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams made a trading and went out and got him. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams signed Taylor Lewan. I'll be honest with you. I would not. I think that they're going to either give Alaric the keys to the car and have him play at left tackle, or they're going to maybe move him at guard, maybe use him as a versatile backup, like play tackle and guard, and they'll go out and get a veteran presence. Because I think their formula worked with Whitworth. And honestly, if he was just a little bit younger, they probably would be fine.
Father Time.
Unfortunately. Yeah, exactly. Like if they got him at age, say 28 or whatever, and he played 6 years, now he's 36 or whatever, or 34. Don't know how to do math apparently, but he's like 34, 35 years old, whatever, he could still play another 5 years. You'd feel decent about that. Bowles is an option. There'll probably be other guys that come up. That's the beauty of the offseason. And we just never know who's unhappy in their current environment until it just comes out. And so that's the thing. Like, I don't think any of us at the end of last year, when the Rams were, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, I don't think anybody was like, Tyreek Hill's going to end up in Miami. Like, no one thought that.
Yeah.
No one thought that. Who thought that? And who thought the Chiefs were going to go to the Super Bowl without him? I kind of did, but my point though is that like the Derek Carr drama.
Yeah.
Who thought that before the season? Like everyone was like, oh, Derek Carr finally has an offensive, offensive minded coach. Like things are going to go well, and they could not have gone worse. Like they just cut him outright. They got nothing for him. And guess what? Because they cut him, they relinquish any chance to get a compensatory pick for him.
Mm.
He's not a free agent. They created him to be a free agent. Like they cut him. His contract didn't expire. So they will not get a compensatory pick for him. They will get nothing for Derek Carr, even though they found the guy in the second round at Fresno State. They took a chance on him and it worked out. But they will get nothing for him. Yeah. So
that's neither here nor there. I mean, that's the black hole. That's what they do. It's all good.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Cam. Yeah. It's like we don't know. We didn't know Bobby Wagner was going to happen. The Rams are a team to look out for because when opportunity knocks, they knock back.
Yeah.
And so when you look at Eric Weddle, Eric Weddle got surprisingly released by the Ravens. The Rams took it upon themselves to give him a contract after, you know, or because he was released, they didn't have to lose a compensatory pick. It didn't hurt their comp formula. So they got him. Same thing with Bobby Wagner. They got Clay Matthews. Remember, everyone was like, the Packers cut Clay Matthews?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And then the Rams went out and got him.
Yeah.
You know, they did it with Connor Barwin. They've done it multiple times.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're in on Taylor Lewan. If Bowles gets cut, the Rams have to be the favorite.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're cooking.
But if it's a trade, I think they're definitely one of the favorites, but I can't say for sure they are the favorite. Yeah. But yeah, if he gets cut, he'll be a Ram.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing too, Jake, you know, I know we've been talking about the O-line a lot, so we can definitely jump into Super Bowl action or, you know, whatever else. But, you know, just my final thoughts on the offensive line. It's extremely important when the offensive line is strong because it gives the quarterback confidence, number one. Number two, it gives the running back confidence, right? We talked about Cam Akers, how he came along towards the end of that season. Imagine him having the offensive line that opens up holes for him the way he's been running the ball, right? Like, I think we see a new Cam Akers. I think we see a revived Cam Akers. I think the running game gets stronger, and then that then opens up the passing game. So then, therefore, if the running game is doing well, then the passing game is opens up. Cooper Kupp doesn't have to be ran into the ground through catches and through everything that he went through last year, right? So you maybe get a healthier Cooper Kupp. Everyone is healthy, is more balanced, but I think we always talked about it. It always starts at the line of scrimmage, right? On the defensive side and the offensive side, that offensive line can serve as an anchor. And if you have two badasses at tackle and even a badass at center, you know, the guards, we can figure that out. But if we can just anchor that offensive line, Matthew Stafford's going to have all the time to throw. His wife, Kelly Stafford, she's going to be happy on her podcast because her boo is safe. Like, let's just make sure that everyone is comfortable and confident leading into next season, because I don't want my heart to be broken, Jake, after every week like we did last year. Jake, let's just make sure we anchor that offensive line.
I hear you, man. And I'm not going to lie. Like, Garrett Bowles is nasty. Like, when he's healthy, like, he's a jerk on the field. Like, he's going to bully you, yeah. You know? And I could see it. I could see it. And, you know, because I'm such good friends with you and I love doing this show, I'm going to give you a little gift here with this tweet. You ready for this? Yeah. Because this is your guy and it's going to back up everything you've ever said about him. And I don't think you saw this. So get ready. All right. You're going to be happy. Blaine Grisak, my buddy Blaine over at TST. Allen Robinson was the most open receiver on the Rams in 2022. ESPN stats on receiver tracking confirmed.
Thank you. I know. What was one of the things, Jake? It was like, oh, like his speed. He doesn't really separate too much.
I know.
And I'm like, this is the guy. So, okay. So, Jake, do we take Allen Robinson off the trading block, Jake? Or does he stay on the trading block? What are your thoughts after reading that quote, that tweet?
What's I mean, your thoughts? Here's the thing is he deserves to be on the Rams next year. He deserves that. He deserves a chance. You know, you can't clump him in with last year because he did what he could when he got the ball, right? But it's just a matter of where the Rams have put themselves as far as the cap that I just don't think he gets that chance. I think he's going to get traded away. And I think when push comes to shove, Sean McVay wants to go back to what's comfortable. And I know it doesn't look like that with the coaching staff. You know, you go out and you get Ryan Wendell. I mean, that's a brand new coach. He comes from that Belichick tree, you know, because he played there. Yeah. And then he goes to the Bills. And he's the assistant offensive line coach behind the former Rams offensive line coach, Aaron Kromer. So he joins. And then Nick Cayley, who comes from the Belichick tree as a tight end coach, he comes over and now he's the tight end coach.
Like
so
it.
The interesting thing here
like
is that there hasn't been a comfortability necessarily. You know, you could say Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, brothers. I disagree. They're brothers. I'm not disagreeing. They're not brothers. But what I would say is that Mike LaFleur is more, it's kind of entering into a different tree, right? It's more of the Shanahan offense and whatnot, the current Shanahan, because I know, you know, Matt was with him before, but this is more current, you know, within the last 4 years. And so it has gone away a little bit from being comfortable, right? You haven't really grabbed guys that were comfortable, but there was a rumor, and it's very much a fact, by the way, if Morris left and he was available, Everett would have been defensive coordinator for the Rams. That's a comfortable option because you have experience with him. So what did they do with the players? We've seen it before. Sean McVay kind of leaning more towards guys he's comfortable with, going back and getting Malcolm Brown because he's comfortable with Malcolm Brown. That's a great example. Honestly, going back out and getting you, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Comfortability, yeah, right?
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
Reunions, one, it tells you the bridge wasn't burned because obviously there's no way to get to the other side if, you know. But it also tells you that, you know, the organization is comfortable with the player and they feel better with that player. They trust that player, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's an endorsement to an extent, endorsement to you. So what I'm saying is like a Brandon Cooks, a Robert Woods, somebody like that, don't be surprised if they're back.
Yeah.
You know, don't be surprised if one of those guys is one of the starting wide receivers for the Rams. I do see a lot in the comment section for whatever reason. Van Jefferson gets a lot of hate, man.
What?
There are a lot of people that want him
play
traded.
Van Jefferson, really?
And I'm like, Van Jefferson barely costs a dime.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the cap. You don't trade rookie contract wide receivers ever if they're playing like that.
Yeah. No. Not big play Van.
It has to be like 200 yards he's getting. Like a year.
Yeah.
That's the only way you trade. You're not trading a guy who had 800 yards in a season. Is what, second year in the league? No, you're not doing that.
Jake,
he had injuries this year.
Yeah, Jake, not big play Van, man. You can't. It's like Higbee. You know, it's like there's certain people that you just kind of like to stay away from. Those are people that you keep. And Jake, I also wanted to get back to your point about the coaches here, right? Because the offensive coaches that are coming in, you mentioned two Patriots coaches, I believe. And you mentioned someone else coming from a different championship organization. But you talk about being uncomfortable. I think seeing Sean McVay tapping into that uncomfortability, right, and bringing in guys that, you know, from different branches, different places, but they come from a championship mindset. And I think Sean McVay needs that, right? Where if Sean McVay is going through whatever he's going through, you know, during the season, he's doing running the same plays. He needs that guy to come in and say, hey, you know, this is not the way to go. And really flip things around a little bit. So I love the additions there on the offensive side. And I do think they're going to make your big play Van Jefferson, your Cooper Kupp, they're going to make these guys better players, your Tyler Higbee, they're going to make these guys better players on and off the field. And so I really love that addition. But I just wanted to sidebar a little bit when we talk about Van Jefferson and these new offensive coaches. And I think they're going to help Van Jefferson play better. He's going to be not only big play Van Jefferson, but double big play Van Jefferson, right? Just go ahead and double it up.
Double it up. No, I hear you. I mean, I'm excited for the new coaches that are, you know, in this organization. And yeah, he sprawled out. You know, it's like what my late great grandfather always used to tell me, be comfortable being uncomfortable, because those are the people that are the ones that are going to ascend. Those are the people that are dangerous, so to speak. They can really make some moves, right? Mm-hmm. Because the only thing that really kind of holds us back is being too comfortable and being, you know, too comfortable, but also afraid to kind of sprawl out. And I feel like McVay has sprawled out with his coaching tree. You know, he's added guys like, you know, look at Carberry. He came from college. You know, he's added guys like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's fascinating to see. And so, you know, in a chance where, you know, he could have been more comfortable in his coaching staff and whatnot, he brought in some new blood. And I think that's maybe that's, you know, a sign of things to come for the offense. I would say keep an eye on all the Jets free agents on the offensive side of the ball. I think Mike LaFleur might tap into that a little bit. I think we could see Mike White, who was last year, you know, probably the best quarterback on the Jets by far when he played. I think he could be the backup to Matthew Stafford. I think Nate Herbig, who had experience playing on the Eagles offensive line, you know, he played with the Jets. I thought he looked pretty solid.
Bring him on
over.
I think
he could be an option.
Come on, bring him on over.
Like I mentioned, you know. Yeah. So, and, you know, my friend Blaine was also mentioning, he mentioned to me George Fant, who only allowed one sack the year prior to last year. That could be an interesting one. I don't know if he's more of a right tackle than a left tackle. And I don't know if that's necessarily a guy. Is he an upgrade over Alec Jackson? He's older. I don't know. But it's definitely something to think about. And that, like, we've seen it before. Like when Jeff Fisher was here, it was, oh, can I get more Titans? Like, oh, Titan here, Titan here, Titan here, you know, and all of a sudden Cortland Finnegan's here. And, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? So we've seen that in the past. We've seen, of course, you know, guys that, you know, really get along with Wade, you know, Aqib Talib came over with Wade Phillips, guys like that. You know, and we've seen those connections. I mean, we've still seen them with Raheem Morris. Let's be honest here. Like, I forget his name, Tyler, the corner that he came from the Falcons. He coached him. Mm-hmm. It's another name to look out for. I was also talking to Blaine about this. Isaiah Oliver, mm-hmm. Defensive back, was a former first round pick. I think out of Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, could be wrong on that. But yeah, I mean, he could be an option. Just, I don't know, keep an eye on the different relationships. Yeah. Because I'm not saying the Rams are only favoritism here, and they will go out and they'll just get talented players for sure. But those connections matter. Yeah. And we've seen it before matter. You know, we can't knock them for being just a favoritism-led team because they had Kevin Carberry and they didn't draft any of his guys that he coached in college. Yeah. You know, they had an opportunity to. So, you know, just something that's interesting there.
Yeah. And Jake, I want to add, too, you know, at the end of the day, you know, especially after the pandemic, you only work with people who you like, right? Like, time is limited. Time is precious. You want to work with people who you like at the end of the day. And like you said, keeping an eye out for the people that some of these coaches have already worked with because they know, they trust them. They know the system and they know that they can respond to adversity and anything that they're going to throw at them. So, like you said, hey, you know, let's keep an eye out. And if these guys are coming from playoff and championship teams, that's a signal for me. Just come on, bring them over because we need that. The Rams need that more than anything. So it sounds like Sean McVay's been taking notes in the offseason, Jake, and I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, and let's wrap this up with the Super Bowl.
All right.
Because I think it makes a lot of sense. You get to see the two teams that did it right. Right. I mean, that's pretty much what happens. It's like 30 teams watch up at the two teams that just were better than everyone else that year. Hey, the Rams had their moment in the sun, too. Yeah. And they actually won the game. So, you know, they can't really feel bad about it. It was a bad year, but they can bounce back. But let me get your thoughts on the Super Bowl. We can talk a little bit about that. But also, in addition to that, Cam, what are some things that you saw during the Super Bowl that you feel like could apply to the Rams? Whether it's, you know, the ridiculous quarterback sneak that, let's be honest here, the NFL competition committee is probably going to scrap after that because, you know, they're going to stop and allowing people to push the quarterback over. But is it, you know, is it something like the offensive line kicking ass, you know, for the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs for that matter? Is it, you know, say the running back room, you know, how both running back rooms were used? I mean, you talk about Jerick McKinnon, you know, and obviously like what, you know, Pacheco was doing, we said he was going to do, you know, back when they played the Rams, you know, or, you know, a Boston Scott or a Kenneth Gainwell, you know, Miles Sanders, or, you know, maybe the big play receivers. You know, I think really that's my question for you. Like, what were your main takeaways from the game as a spectator, but also takeaways that like kind of apply to the team that we covered?
Yeah. So connecting to the Rams, I think the first and most important thing is coaching. The way that Andy Reid coached that team in the red zone specifically, Jake, right? There were a couple plays where he knew that the Eagles were playing man coverage, that they would bump the coverage. You'll see, I think it showed on ESPN, Andy Reid called back-to-back play, the same play, but on opposite sides for touchdowns. It was a motion in and a quick motion out, and he had, you know, receivers wide open. I think coaching is the big thing. That's number one. And what the Rams can do, what Sean McVay can do, and what he's done is brought in other coaches who can outsmart the other coaches. At the end of the day, like I was talking to my family members, and they were like, hey, what do you think about the game? And I was like, man, the Eagles, at the end of the day, they just got out-coached, right? The players were going head-to-toe. Devontae Smith was going off in the wide receiver room. Like, it was a true battle. But I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs had the better coach. Right. Jalen Hurts played lights out. He played lights out. I think he had like the
second. He's the best player on the field.
The best player on the field. PPF rating, I think, was insane. Second to Nick Foles, like of all Super Bowls. So that's without a fact. Right. Without, you know, they ran the ball super well. The defense played well. But what I think I said, the deciding factor was Andy Reid outcoached the Eagles period, right? And I think that's the first takeaway. Second takeaway, Chiefs ran the damn ball second half, right? I think the first half, they were getting stumped on, Jake. It was, when I was watching that game, I was like, ooh, it's looking ugly. Second half, they started running that football. They made halftime adjustments, and that's just coaching. Again, Jake, I'm going back to coaching at the end of the day. You know, Sean McVay's bringing in other coaches to help him out, but the Chiefs, they ran the ball really well, and they adjusted it at halftime. And then the next thing, too, thirdly, takeaways. The Chiefs had some takeaways, right? I think they had I think Jalen Hurts dropped the ball, whatever, fumbled the ball, and they went and scored a touchdown. Takeaways are extremely important. And for the Rams, when it comes to takeaways this past season, we always talked about it, Jake. They were okay, but I'll probably find them at the bottom of that list of the 32 teams. What do you think when it comes to the Rams takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I would say bottom half of the league. And it's weird because they started off this season so great. I mean, anytime you turn over Josh Allen three times, you should be winning those games.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I think the Chiefs did that well, and they did it well all year. One of my buddies was like, I was like, ooh, the Chiefs defense is really good. Of course, because I watched them before, you know, the Rams played them. And he was like, no, they're not that good. I'm like, dude, these guys had turnovers in like the end of their previous games, about two turnovers. Nick Bolton always getting interceptions, running the ball back, like, constantly seeing that, it's like a disease, it's a habit, you know. Once you get a whiff of it, you're like, oh, I need more. The Rams need that. The Rams need to figure out this season how to get those turnovers. We talk about Raheem Morris playing that bend don't break defense. Forget that. We need to take the ball away. we need to worry about taking the ball away to give our offense the football so we can score some points. That should be the theme and the motto, because whenever you're getting to the playoffs, you're playing these great quarterbacks, whatever quarterback has the ball the most, whatever quarterback protects the ball the best is going to win the game, period, right? You can't give Patrick Mahomes the ball more than Jalen Hurts, right? Like, even though Jalen Hurts played better than Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. Those takeaways, that affects some of these quarterbacks. And so the Rams defense, we're going to have to work on affecting the quarterback next season.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there were definitely a lot of things to take away. Will the Eagles be back? I don't know. They have a lot of players. I mean, they went all in. Keep in mind, like, people don't realize that. They traded for A.J. Brown. They signed guys like Ndamukong Suh. They signed guys like Javon Hargrave, you know. They went all in. They traded for, you know, Darius Slay, not necessarily this year, but in the past. But
and their coordinators are gone too, Jake. Both their coordinators left the same day. So it's like, yikes.
Exactly. And so I really like Brian Johnson, the quarterback coach. I think he's going to do a really nice job as offensive coordinator. But defense coordinator, I'm not sure who's going to be there. And I'm hearing Vance Joseph, but I mean, that's kind of a downgrade from what's his face? Gannon. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure, like, when you have a quarterback like that, if they're able to get through another year not paying Hurts, then they're going to be set up to go out and get whoever and replenish, essentially. But if they have to pay Hurts, and the Rams had to pay Jared Goff right after the Super Bowl that they lost too. So Jalen Hurts was a lot better than Jared Goff in that Super Bowl, let me just tell you. If they have to pay Jalen Hurts, it's going to be upwards $50 million a year. And it's going to be really hard to do anything with how many guys they're losing in free agency or expected to lose in free agency. So I don't know if they'll be back. But the Chiefs, I will say this, and I wanted to get to it earlier, but I think it's probably good now to talk about it a little quick before we head out of here. The Chiefs have a dynasty in the making, because they have the best franchise quarterback in the NFL, a guy that can work off schedule, but he's not a running quarterback, so you don't have to worry about him constantly getting hurt and taking unnecessary shots.
He ran against the Rams, though. But a guy with
a cannon of an arm, can throw the ball at any angle, anywhere on the field, keep any play alive. He's also got... he's part of one of the greatest duos we've ever seen in the history of the NFL, in him and Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, really what they've been able to do is find guys like Pacheco, you know, in the seventh round. Trey Smith starts on their offensive line. He's a sixth round pick, but they've also nailed picks like Creed Humphrey, that's a second rounder. They've nailed picks like you said, Nick Bolton, second round pick. They've nailed picks later on in the draft, again, like L'Jarius Sneed, who I don't even think if he played, I didn't see him, but I know he was pretty banged up. They have really done a nice job drafting, and I don't think they get enough credit for it. You know, going out and, you know, getting guys like Colin Saunders on their defensive line. You know, I just don't think they get enough credit for it. So this is what I will say. Okay. The Chiefs are built to win consistently, efficiently, and long term. And the thing that I have left out here that I will finally say is that, Cam, I think Andy Reid has found the secret formula to sustain success, because you can have great players, but you're not going to have the same players every year, not with a salary cap. This isn't, you know, the 49ers being able to buy championships in the 90s. But
shots.
I mean, the salary cap happened, and where are all those Super Bowls, my guy? Anyway, but no, for real though, Andy Reid has found the secret formula. And what that is employing coordinators who are more experienced and are just less likely to be a head coach. Whether we, you know, whatever you want to talk about, you know, with Bieniemy, I'm not saying he doesn't belong as a head coach. I'm not saying that. But clearly the NFL doesn't look at him as a head coach because he hasn't gotten a job. And he's had his interviews have dwindled. So what has that done? And I know he'll probably leave, but to this point, what has that done? It's allowed him and Mahomes to grow together. You know, it's allowed him to coach Mahomes to keep the same offensive coordinator. Man, can you imagine how good Bradford would have been if he had the same offensive coordinator for 5 years in a row and didn't have a different one every 5 years? Don't think that doesn't matter. I mean, obviously Mahomes transcends even a coordinator at this point in his career, but it does help. And then you look at the defense. Steve Spagnuolo is not getting another head coaching job in the NFL. He didn't do well with the Rams. Whether you can say it was all his fault, you could say it was the brass's fault, St. Louis, whatever, he's not getting another one. Okay. It's just not happening. The league looks at him as a defensive coordinator. And so what I'm getting at, Cam, is that Andy Reid has the secret formula because he has essentially brought in guys that he's not going to lose. And Sean McVay is the opposite. He's brought, like, Raheem Morris may not have, you know, gone this time, but next year, I mean, he was close to getting that Colts job. Yeah. Next year, I think that's the year for Raheem. Then you look at Mike LaFleur. You could say right now all that stuff about him with the Jets and how, you know, Elijah Moore wanted to beat the crap out of him in the locker room and all of that, whatever. I think it says more about Elijah Moore than it does Mike LaFleur, but that's just me. Either way, all that stuff goes out the you know, completely goes out of it, because at the end of the day, a coaching job and coaches in this league, it's a stock market. It's a stock game. And it's very easy for Mike LaFleur to bounce back, because going into his job as the OC for the Jets, people were talking about him as an upcoming head coach. And then after his second year, now everyone's like, oh, he, you know, he's bad. And now he's not even calling plays for the Rams. Don't be surprised if a team is like, you know what? I'm going to take a chance on Mike LaFleur. I'm going to say, you know what? I don't think the Jets had a great chemistry there. I don't think the players respected him. That's not him. You know, we saw what he did with, you know, before in San Francisco, just was a bad fit. So he goes to the Rams. Now all of a sudden he succeeds. I think a team could take him. And so it just kind of goes to show you, while McVay is creating this gaudy, you know, you talk about a coaching tree, it is massive and it's only going to get bigger. While he's doing that, and that is, you know, creating a legacy and it's creating a foothold in the NFL, you could see how it also, like Andy Reid, he doesn't have as big of a coaching tree, but it's worked out for him more. I'm just saying, I think a lot of it has to do with hiring, you know, coaches that he knows probably aren't going to go ahead, you know, and leave and become head coaches. Yeah. And I think that's a real thing that I wonder if teams start to look at now.
Yeah. And that's the same thing for the Rams too, right? We talked about that Super Bowl year. I was speaking to some of the folks from the Rams staff and they were like, yeah, athletic trainers left, coaches left, like all those things. It's kind of like taking a recipe out of a cake or, you know, like a great meal, right? Like if you take some sugar, you take some salt out of it, it's like, ooh, that doesn't taste too right. And so for Sean McVay, maybe working on keeping some of those ingredients in his pot, in his cook, so he can be like his Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid, he loves his hamburgers. And so he likes his hamburgers probably made a certain way. Well, his ingredients for his team are similar. They're familiar. and they can go out and win, right? And so for the Rams, I would love to see that dynasty where Sean McVay is not always turning over coaches and players, and they become great coaches, but figure out how to sustain that, to maintain that, so we can keep winning championships. Because like I said, man, having a season where you go up and then back down, I don't think that happens, right? If you have coaches that can stay, and maybe it goes down a little bit, but you can go back up because these guys are getting better. They're getting more familiar, and they're just more comfortable with the scene there. So, yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting offseason. And it sounds like Sean McVay's, he's starting things off right with hiring some coaches from different places, getting uncomfortable. And let's keep some of those coaches in the house, right? Raheem Morris, I know he might leave soon, but hey, maybe we incentivize him with some more dollars, So, hey, what's it going to take, my man, to stay? What is it going to look like for you to stay here and make sure that this team is a championship team?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Ben Johnson, right? Everyone and their mother wanted Ben Johnson to be their head coach, and he said, you know what? I like what we're building with the Lions, and I want to continue to see it through. And I, first off, deserves a lot of praise for that. But second, he did get some dollars, and that sometimes it's what it takes. I mean, you could pay a coach however you want. It's up to your owner. Yeah. And if you have a crummy, what is it? More frugal owner, then, well, you're going to lose your coordinators.
Yeah. We know the Rams. We had that money. So come on, let's yeah. Kroenke. We know you got the dollars, my guy. So let's make sure these guys are paid.
Absolutely. But, So I don't know. Just some thoughts. I think we learned a lot. I would say we learned a lot from, what happened. But every Super Bowl, you could always take some notes down. You can see the way the league is changing. I think last year's Super Bowl kind of got the teams prepared for this year, the way Raheem Morris's defense was playing. And, everyone kind of caught on to, okay, well now, they're using more lighter boxes up front. It's easier to run the ball. Yeah, everyone saw it except for Sean McVay last year. So hopefully this year the trend is, the Rams are ahead of that trend, or even starting a new trend. That's the league. And that's been this podcast. So I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He's Cameron Lynch. This show is brought to you by betonline.ag, our friends over there. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, review, all that jazz. And you guys take care. We'll see you guys soon. Later, folks.